was. The book was developed in the 1970s Soviet Union. What we don't know is who fired it, although there are many suspicions. Back at home, President Obama was on the road, delivering a speech in Delaware calling for more spending on transportation. And in the middle of that, he paused to say this.
The world is watching reports of a downed passenger jet near the Russia-Ukraine border. And it looks like it may be a terrible tragedy. Right now, we're working to determine whether there were American citizens on board.
The president spent the next half hour talking about the need for more infrastructure projects and then hopped on Air Force One for a quick trip to New York City. He arrived just hours ago to attend two campaign fundraising events that are closed to the media. And we are now waiting for his departure and may still get some additional comments tonight, although none are scheduled. Even before he arrived, some media outlets were asking why he is out fundraising when up to two dozen Americans, and who knows how many more? We just don't have the numbers, but the reports were it could be 23 Americans on the manifest of this plane who were killed in a terror attack less than 12 hours ago. Chief White House correspondent Ed Henry is live for us tonight at the White House. Ed?
Good evening, Megan. The president clearly was not concerned enough about the image of the fundraising to cancel them, but they are clearly worried potentially about the politics, the optics of this, enough so that White House aides were very careful to tell us that as soon as the president landed in New York City a couple hours ago, before fundraising, he convened two secure phone calls with the Secretary of State, John Kerry, then with his broader national security team, including the CIA director, to get updates both on the Gaza situation as well as the Ukrainian-Russian situation. Interesting, because remember last week, the president also did some fundraising in Texas, did not visit the border, he said, because he was not interested in photo ops. As you noted, today in Delaware, he kept up his photo ops, had a cheeseburger with a single mom, pushed the highway funding that you talked about. Think back, though, to how this week started. A major front page piece in the Wall Street Journal cataloging all these national security crises around the world. It raised the question about whether U.S. power around the globe was in decline. I pressed Josh Earnest about that, the White House press secretary, and he downplayed it. Listen.
How does the White House react to the notion that the president is a bystander to all these crises?
I think that there have been a number of situations in which you've seen this administration intervene in a meaningful way that has substantially furthered American interests and substantially improved the tranquility of the global community.
Perhaps not so much tranquility tonight, which is why on Air Force One a couple hours ago, the president, see that photo, called the new Ukrainian president. One of the things he stressed that's interesting is the president said he wants to make sure the evidence from the wreckage stays in Ukraine. Problem is, some of the separatists are already saying that they took the black box or boxes to Russia. So this evidence may have already been tampered with, Megan.
Ed Henry, thank you. Well, less than 3 hours ago, the State Department announced that Secretary Kerry has canceled his speaking event to a Jewish group tonight so he can engage in, quote, internal meetings and discussions with his counterparts around the world. So far, no changes announced for the president's schedule. Mark Thiessen is here. He's a Washington Post columnist and an American Enterprise Institute and a former presidential speechwriter who was in the Bush White House for a number of years. Mark, good to see you tonight.
Good to be with you, Megan.
Obviously, we're focused on what is happening overseas, but again, with the fundraisers, as we may have 23, the early reports are 23 Americans were on the manifest, we're waiting for actual confirmations, but at a minimum, we have 300 people dead from what appears to be an act of terror.
Absolutely. I mean, you have almost 298 people, possibly Americans, killed, and not in a plane crash, in a missile, a surface-to-air missile attack against that plane. At the same time, in Israel, our closest ally in the Middle East is engaged in a ground war. And instead of heading to the Situation Room, the president's heading to a fundraiser. Could he not have sent Joe Biden? Could he not have sent the First Lady? Do you think anybody would have returned their checks because the president went back to the White House to manage two international crises that are happening at the same time?
What is he doing? Why is he doing that?
I honestly don't know. I mean, and Ed pointed out, he just last week, he was in Texas and went to a fundraiser instead of the border. And he's got a pattern of doing this. The day after the Benghazi attack, he was in Las Vegas for a fundraiser. The day after Putin initially invaded Ukraine and took over Crimea, he went to a fundraiser and said, it's a happy hour for the Democratic Party. And when Iraq was falling and Mosul fell to ISIS, he went to Laguna Beach for a fundraiser and then went for a vacation in Palm spring. So I just don't understand what this president is thinking.
Is it that he doesn't want to alarm people? He doesn't want to say the world is ending, so he wants to keep his tone measured, and he wants his day not to look disrupted. So, you know, we all do the same.
It's kind of hard when you're sitting there and you have virtually a split screen where you're making jokes about transportation funding and joking about Jack Lew's signature, as he did in his speech today. And then on the pictures of the screen are a smoke plume coming out of the ground in Ukraine where there could be dead Americans. That's the kind of thing that disrupts a president's day. You're allowed to have your day disrupted. No one's going to think that you're not in command because you decided to go back to the Situation Room to the White House to monitor events rather than going to a fundraiser. So
you know,
I don't think that's
it. It is not. You've pointed out that he's done these fundraisers repeatedly when we've had, serious situation, including, confirmed American lives lost, i.e. Benghazi.
Yeah.
The other thing that people are looking at from our commander-in-chief on a night like this, Mark, when we're concerned. I mean, we're concerned. The world is in a lot of trouble right now, and it is not tranquil, Mr. Ernest.
Yeah.
Is some comfort. You know, there's sort of, he's also considered the comforter in chief, and you know that as a former presidential speechwriter. And so we heard those words today, and a lot of people said, really? And then you move on to transportation, and it reminds one of the remarks he made after the Fort Hood massacre, where, well, we have it queued up. Watch it.
Let me, first of all, just thank Ken and the entire Department of the Interior staff for organizing just an extraordinary conference. My understanding is that you had an extremely productive conference. Every single member of my team understands that this is a top priority for us, but as some of you might have heard, there has been a tragic shooting at the Fort Hood Army base in Texas.
He was excoriated for that, and now it seems he's done it again.
Well, yeah, if you look at the speech he gave today, he was joking around about Joe Biden. He went literally seamlessly out of those comments about that he said that, we may have had a tragedy here, to making jokes about Joe Biden's looks, making jokes about Jack Lew's signature on your dollar bill, and then going into basically political attacks against Republicans, joking about being sued by Speaker Boehner.
Let me ask you this, because you were on the inner circle of a White House. What was it like under President Bush? I mean, was there an understanding that the American people are looking to their leader to set the tone? And again, maybe this is the tone he wants to set. You know, business as usual, nothing to see here. This is a little check mark that we need to address, but go forward. What was it like in that White House?
It wasn't anything like this. The president of the United States, if there was a terrorist attack, he would be in charge of it. I mean, if you look at 9/11 and the story of what happened on the day of 9/11, everybody was trying to keep the president out. He desperately wanted to get back to the White House.
He got ripped for continuing to read the children's story, which is something a lot of Democrats ripped on him for. But now, you would think that people would learn from that.
Absolutely. And so there, Democrats were ripping President Bush for spending three more minutes with the children before jumping out of the room. But President Obama can go to a fundraiser after Benghazi, after this, and it's no problem. But if you read the accounts of that day, President Bush he was insistent over the objections of everybody in his security detail. I'm going to be back in the White House tonight. I want the American people to see their commander-in-chief in the White House leading the country unafraid. And I think the Americans are not seeing that from this president. We need the commander-in-chief, whether you're Republican or Democrat, when something like this happens, particularly if Americans might be killed, you want the commander-in-chief in charge. You want him back at the White House doing his job and not raising money for the Democratic Party.
You have got Democratic Senator Carl Levin saying this could be considered an act of war. An act of war. You can see it there. Whoever did it should pay a full price. If it's by a country, either directly or indirectly, then it could be considered an act of war. And if it's an act of war with dead Americans, then there's a real problem for not just those who are on board that aircraft and their families tonight, but the people of the United States. Mark, thank you.
Thanks, Megan.